There we
All
go.
right, thanks.
All right. Okay. So, first of all, I want to thank and welcome everybody to our Monday, March 22nd, City of Tukwila Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. I know we have a lot of guests here today, and I know some of you communicated with our council president over the weekend, and she and I also talked. I think she explained to you that these committee meetings are working meetings for the council members. But with that, and we have a pretty packed agenda, and two of the items I think are of interest to you. So what I would like to do is get through our agenda. We have a miscellaneous. And at the end of that, if there is time, because we have a cutoff time of 6:45, if we do have time, I could possibly entertain some questions or some comments. But we like I said, we have a packed agenda. This is, I think there's a lot of information you might hear tonight that will be of interest to you, but we'll just go from there. So let's go ahead and get started. So the first item on the agenda is the 42nd Avenue South replacement update. And who will be handling this one? Hari, you're on mute.
Yes, sorry. Good evening, committee members. Hari Punikanti, Public Works Director. I'll take both of the first two items. So the first item is the 42nd South bridge replacement. So the update on the 30% design. So 42nd Avenue South Bridge is an important arterial that crosses Duwamish, and it's a what we consider this as a primary route that in and out of Duwamish that is used by the residents, the cars, and the trucks, and so that's the primary route. So the city's goal is to pursue options to replace the primary route in its place. And the history of this is in August 27, 2017, city received a bridge structural assessment that puts the sufficiency rating of 7.56 out of 1,000. So that city has shifted its focus on finding grant and other sources to replace this bridge. Like I mentioned, since this is a primary route used by all the residents as well as the community center and its users in that area. So given the history of that, we applied for grants in 2017 and 2019, and the grants for this are formerly known as Bridge Replacement Grant, BRAC, is the short name of that. We applied 2017, 2019, we were unsuccessful. And then recently we were advised if we start the design that will strengthen our position to get a grant. So therefore, we started with, under the council's direction, we started 30% design. As part of the 30% design, we have hired Trantech Engineering, who hired Enviro Issues as their consultant to do public outreach. And as part of the public outreach, we were during the first phase, we wanted to turn in the application to BRAC in February of 2020. With that deadline in mind, Enviro Issues went ahead and reached some targeted public outreach. As a part of that, they talked to a few of the stakeholders. And as the rest of the public outreach plan unfolds, we're going to have a discussion on March 30th with some of the local residents. And then based on that conversation, we're shaping the questions that will be used in a large open house format of public outreach for the 42nd bridge design. So all of these are to replace the existing 42nd bridge in its place or in that same corridor. So with that, I'm ready to take questions from the council or the committee members.
Okay, Hari, just So just, I just want to clarify when, and then I'll get to the other council members. So the outreach, you wanted to apply, I heard you say February 2020, but I think you meant February 2021, right?
21, that is correct.
Yeah, okay, good. That's what I thought. Okay, I just want to make that clear. Okay, well, then I will start off with Council Member Quinn. Do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, so in your explanation, Hari, you talked about the BRAC funding grant. You talked about a consultant coming on board. How does that then turn into a contractor on site looking at an alternative, which we didn't even talk about beforehand? And so I just want to give you an opportunity to articulate the sequence of events and maybe the technical pieces here, because the council action, again, was 30% design for the 42nd bridge replacement, nothing else. And so what part of the technical assessment then led to the consultant coming out and doing an alternative? And then if you can also explain, I know it's different agenda topics, but the difference between the 42nd Avenue bridge replacement and the BNSF intermodal access study. But I think first and foremost is, how did we get from point A, 30% design for replacement of the 42nd Avenue bridge, to a contract and then a consultant looking at an alternative that we've never discussed at all? So right. I think that would be helpful. And then sure. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Councilmember Quinn. Excellent question. So what happened is the council has agreed or directed the staff to go get 30% design. So we went ahead and hired a consultant. 30% design is also known in technical terms as type, size, and location report. So at the time of 30% design of any bridge is when they do the type of bridge, the size of the bridge, location of the bridge is fixed and in that report. So as part of that report, the consultant, the structural engineer that we hired, Trantec Engineering, went and hired subcontractors to do surveying, looking at the existing utilities location and any variances in the size, the width of the bridge, type of the bridge. And so in that technical exploration of type, size, and location, the consultant, the Trantec Engineering, came up with a technical option of locating the bridge instead of right next to the existing 42nd bridge, maybe extending the 124 was an option. It's a technical option A that came out as part of the type, size, and location study. It is not something that council has authorized. It's not something we, as the city or the body, Public Works, we did not tell the consultant to do. But what is going to happen is the consultant has looked at the option, is if that's going to reduce the cost, reduce the amount of geotech exploration that needs to be done, then they will bring that and then ask us a question, then we'll bring it to the council. At this point, we don't even know if that is a feasible option or not. So they are just collecting the information. It came out during their type, size, and location study. That's as far as I know about it. It's a sub option within the 42nd. One of the other reasons we're also looking at is when you replace an existing bridge in its current place, you also need to find a temporary bridge while the bridge is under construction. So if you do a bridge at 124th, that avoids putting another bridge next to the existing bridge, so that will cut the cost. So these are just exploration of options. This is, you are absolutely correct. This is not something we authorize or you as a council have directed us to do. And we don't even know if this is a feasible option at this stage. This is something that is just came up during the conversation, during the exploration, during the type, size, and location. We will know more about this as the report is drafted, and we'll bring the information to the committee and ask for information. So that's answer to the first question. If you're satisfied with that, I can move to making a link with the 48. So back, the second memo that you're looking at is that back in 2016, city has made a study of BNSF intermodal facility access study. And this is a secondary access study in addition to the existing 42nd. How to get the large trucks coming out of BNSF out of the neighborhood without burdening the neighborhood streets. So that was always seen as a secondary option that was not in lieu of 42nd. So these are two separate projects. One doesn't negate the other. They both are options that we have pursued. So these are not joined. The grant for 42nd bridge replacement or bridge replacement grants, the grant for BNSF intermodal facility access study, there are different grant sources. They are for a brand new bridge, a bridge that doesn't exist. So the project number is different. The project funding model is different. So these are two separate projects. Pursuing the first project, the 42nd bridge replacement, doesn't stop the city to pursue the second project, which was BNSF intermodal facility access study.
Okay, and I'll stop there, and maybe Councilmember McLeod has more questions, and maybe we can kind of come back around. I just want to make sure the chronology of events is clear, and my goal is to surface as much information as we have right now. So with that, I'll yield back.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Hari. When we were discussing this 30% design in council chambers or virtually, did we ever give a definition that it talked about a different location? Because as I think back on that, I always believed we were talking about replacing the bridge. I wasn't sure how it would happen, but I always kind of had it in my mind it would be at that same location. Do you recall that we ever talked about a different location when we approved a 30% design?
Yes, Councilmember, you remember it correctly. The objective of the existing 30% design is to replace the 42nd bridge in its place or very close proximity to it. It was not a lot of other locations were explored. And you are correct.
Okay. And so I understand that extending 124th straight out is not that far in feet from the bridge. But I think we both know that these two concepts of the rail yard entrance and replacing that bridge, yes, they're two different things. But I think in the eyes of many, and especially the community, they see this as one thing, and I don't think there's a chance in hell that we could put a bridge on 124th and also over on 48th. So to play that out that, well, they're two separate. We'll take care of one first and replace 42nd, and then we'll go pursue the other. I would give that very low odds of succeeding. So it's almost like I don't even want to talk that way, because I don't think it's being upfront enough with our community. So I do want to ask, you hired a company for public outreach. When did you hire them?
So in November, we had authorization from the council. In December, we had a contract with Trantech, and Enviro Issues is their subcontractor. So it's around December time.
Okay. Because, like I said, I think it's two different subjects, but they really are blended as one. And I think the public outreach on all of this really has to be clear with the public and delineate these two separate topics. But I don't know that we're going to get a chance at two separate solutions. And so whatever solution we end up with, we got to get it right. And so my concern is, you know, as a council member, we found out about the on-site discussions with community members via Facebook. We always hate finding things out that way, because we think there's plenty of opportunities to tell us before that. And so when we heard that, wow, they're talking about putting a bridge on 124th, you know, I'm starting to think, well, what, did we eliminate other options? And exactly how are we going about this, and how are we telling the community about it? And so I get a little frustrated just with sometimes the way we're communicating with our community and not including them in the solution. It means they have to live with it. So I just wanted to share that. Have we... I guess, what has BNSF said about 48th or 124th or doing anything more than just sending a letter to support the cause?
Councilmember McLeod, you are correct that we should have done better outreach to the community, and we will strive to do better outreach from now on. COVID did not help the situation, but hindsight is 2020. We will make a better effort. With that being said, BNSF was very engaged in most of the conversations. Anytime we call them, they will come in. They participate, they give feedback, and they have always shown enthusiasm in writing support letters, like you mentioned. But other than that, they have invited us to a few of their efforts to attract some grants that they wanted us to be part of those conversations. But that's about all I know that they have offered so far.
When was the last time that we, the city, have spoken to BNSF?
So we talked to BNSF less than 2 months ago. Enviro Issues has called them and asked them about how often they use the bridge, how many trucks come in, and that type of questions that we asked them as part of the stakeholders. And that was the last one.
Okay. I have a comment and one more question, then I'll yield back. So Hari, you're now the director of Public Works, and happy to work with you on this project. But for 5 years now with the administration, we've been hearing, we'll do better. We'll do better. And I think at some point, this would be to City Administrator Klein and the Mayor Ekberg, at some point you got to stop saying we'll do better and do better. And this would be an example of that, as far as we're reaching out to the council, to the community, and discussing what's going on, and all of us are being kind of surprised at what we're being presented with. So I just share that as a comment. The other question is it possible, in your estimations, Hari, as a public works director, to replace that bridge exactly where it's at, or is that physically not possible?
If it's not exactly where it is, maybe if like 5 to 10 feet to the left or right of it, it's possible to put it in the same location because simply we want to continue using the existing bridge as long as possible as a detour. So we think we'll put it right adjacent to it, is my engineering opinion.
Okay, I'll yield back at this time.
Okay, I'm going to ask a couple questions, then we're going to go back around because I think I know Councilmember Quinn has some additional questions. So if I'm looking on page 9 of our packet, and that's the stakeholder interview summary, it says on February 2nd, Tukwila Community Center, John Dunn. So did John must have held something at the community center, and who was involved in that? Or was that, what was that?
Right. So that meeting was simply Enviro Issues called John Dunn and asked him what type of community engagement happens at community center. So he explained them the kind of programs they have there and how often they come in, they're bused in, that type of stuff. So information was collected to see the bridge usage and how often it's used, how important it is for other community members from within Tukwila.
Okay. All right. Okay, I have some other questions, but I'll let the council members go around again. So Councilmember Quinn.
Yeah, Hari, just kind of a quick follow-up. In this process of replacing the 42nd Avenue Bridge, my assumption is there's going to have to be a robust community outreach to even make us eligible for the type of funds that it would take to build that bridge. I'll make an assumption. Obviously, there was some level, but as you described, the, I don't know, type, size, and whatever. So I'm assuming that that's like limited, but there's going to be another, I'm assuming there's going to be another phase of outreach. And what's really, I'll put it this way. I mean, I have my opinions and I could share how frustrated I am about it, but I think what's most important is how it happened and the implications associated with the surveyors being present and not being equipped to address questions from the community. And so how are we going to make sure that the next step is going to happen in a way that's transparent? That's one. And two, I know we have to wait for the report, but I'm assuming that the sub consultant had no idea how long this community had worked and was committed to getting a better solution, which I'm assuming the subcontractor doesn't even know the two issues. And so you as the director, I mean, I think there's this piece around, even you weren't around for some of the previous discussions. How are we going to mitigate? And then what steps are there if we get a report back or an approach back that's inconsistent with the path that we've been on, while at the same time being clear around the BNSF intermodal access study, and whatever comes up in the replacement of the 42nd bridge doesn't take precedence over the true work that we all know needs to happen to get to a solution and an outcome. I want to be pretty clear what the steps are, and I don't think it will help if, you know, I'm making assumptions about what's happening. So that's why I'm being really clear about my questions and the sequence of events. And, you know, obviously it's complicated and all that stuff, but then there's just this piece around the process, where in the process we're informed, the subconsultant and consultant, how they work with us, share information. But I think most importantly, the off ramp, if they come up with something, let's say, for example, like a bridge over 124th, which just doesn't make any sense, point to a place where we have an opera app and say that is actually, not only is it not viable, but it's inconsistent with the work that we've been doing in the community, including trust.
Yeah, Councilmember, if I wrote down some of the questions that you have asked. So the sub-consultant that we are working with, Enmuro Issues, is the same sub-consultant that worked on BNSF alternative study. So our thought process behind this was there will be some of that historical knowledge they bring. They understood the community, so they probably will bring it. But unfortunately, what happened is the individual or individuals that worked at that time on this project from the Enmuro Issues are no longer with the Enmuro Issues. So that, to me, is an unfortunate outcome that we saw. However, the correction action that we chose are the following. On March 30th, we are meeting with a few of the residents that I have personally reached out to. And the intention of that meeting is a strategy/preparation meeting for the bigger public open meeting. So in that strategy meeting, with the help of these residents, I'm going to ask them what relevant questions we should ask, what are the historical items that we have missed in the handout that I have shared with the council before, and we want to lean on the community members that have this history, like you mentioned, Councilmember. I wasn't here at that time. And so we need everybody's help, and we're here to course correct and do teamwork and gather all the input from every helping resident here in the community. And we want to go in the right direction. So with that being said, will there be a chance of the report saying 124th is a viable option rather than putting it on 42nd? Based on my technical understanding where we are, it's very unlikely that 124th is going to be a cheaper viable option. For various reasons that I have looked at, it includes the kind of structural work that needs to be done and the road work on the other side once you reach other side of the river straight from 124th. It's simply, we don't think that it's a possibility. The other issues are we also need to work with the granting authorities. Sometimes granting authorities do not give us replacing bridge replacement grant unless you are within a certain corridor, usually not too far away from the existing bridge. So I don't want to categorically predict the future, but I know enough to say 124th is not unlikely to come out to the top of the list. But we're here to bring the report. We will share with you. We'll share with the community. And the discussions we will bring to the community includes how wide of a sidewalk we want. We want to make sure that people can walk with strollers and people have enough room to run, jog, ride their bicycle without running into each other. So there are and what type of side ramp or walls that we want. Do we want any, what color we want? Do we want any lights? So we're here to work with the community. We understand the importance of the existing bridge. And we're also working hard with the granting authorities to make sure that we will get the grant. So the public works staff is working hard on behalf of the every community resident here to make this a good project. That's what I can guarantee you guys.
Yeah, and just really quickly, I just wanted to add, we haven't seen the report, but there's considerations that we know or learning from the federal government around equity and environmental justice. And those two things would also be a real challenge to something that then would have detrimental impacts to the neighborhood. And so in anticipation of that, I think, and then just again, the environmental, the requirements, the FAA requirements, the fish window, all those things. And then obviously the environmental issues related to the Duwamish. Those are all things, again, it's not that staff has even considered those things because they haven't had a report to react to, but there is this dilemma that has been created for us to consider. And so I'll yield back for now.
Councilmember McLeod.
I think most of my questions have been asked. So, yeah, I don't know if I have any more at the moment here. I think there's much more to happen on this. I think you can look back and see that you might have taken a little bit different path to get to today than what was taken. And going forward, we really got to be mindful that, you know, the fact that the sensitivity, I think, of what Allentown has been living through, I mean, to us it might seem like a project. To them, it's a life. And so that's really got to be factored into how we have a discussion, how we plan for this. Because, Hari, you and I can say, well, let's just do it off 124th, but you and I don't live there. And the residents live there, and they've got to deal with it all the time. And so that really needs to be given a lot of weight. And I don't want to say you're not factoring that in, but it really has to be at the forefront of what we're doing here. So I think at this point I'll yield back to the chair, and if we're going to stay on this longer and I have questions, I'll raise my hand.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Okay, so I just want to, I'm looking on page 8 of the packet. And so it says early 2021, stakeholder interviews, submit the federal funding applications. So then in the spring of 2021, the online open house. So it's my understanding that we're going to have this community meeting on the 30th of this month to formulate the questions and how you're going to deliver and present at that online open house that is written here, right?
Correct.
And then it says pipeline and location report. Does this mean that this spring we will get the TSNL report?
Yeah, I think we will get the TSNL report no later than October, I think. Adam, are you online?
Yes, I'm here. Adam Packer, project manager for this project. Yes, the type of location on that flyer is during that open house is to get the input to put into that type of location.
Oh, okay.
That will be presented to us this fall, late summer. Okay.
And then you'll develop project alternatives would be in the summer, and then the late fall we'll have the 30% design in the virtual meeting. So we'll kind of, it's going to be kind of going up throughout the whole entire year, correct?
Yes, the end of the year is what I understood.
Okay. All right. So I don't have any additional questions on this. Councilmember Quinn, did you have anything else on this before we move into the next agenda item, which is the BNSF Intermodal Access Study? Sean?
Yeah, just a brief, just to pick up kind of where you started. I think there's a piece now, since we now have been here, I think it's important for not only the community and the meetings that you have set up to clearly show a calendar of events and a chronology of key meetings, and then even for us, decision points. So I think if we can work on that, not only for this subject, but for the next subject as well, and make it pretty clear to the public when and how, when things are happening and what spaces there is for them to weigh in on concerns. And I think even especially in virtual, it's going to be even more important. So that just means some, unfortunately, the consultant who we lost some continuity, like I really think that they have to demonstrate how they get to the community where they know where they kind of have a sense of the schedule and timelines and things associated with it.
There's something that I would like to ask if my fellow committee members are okay with it. And can the committee get a report back on that March 30th meeting at our next CIS meeting? I would feel very comfortable having, you know, we normally wouldn't, you know, have that, but in light of how this has all come about, I think I would have a level of comfort knowing, you know, after the meeting on March 30th, what was the outcome of that and how, you know, how we're moving forward on the project with the consultant. Would that be fair?
Yeah, we'll be happy to provide you this.
Okay, great. So let's just make sure we get that on the agenda. All right, so now we'll move on to the BNSF Intermodal Access Study, and this is a discussion-only item, and I believe this is an update. I think we've sort of touched on this, but we'll start with this one from the beginning. Okay, Hari.
Yeah, okay, Councilmember. So back in 2015, this study was done mainly to look for an alternative way to get trucks in and out of the Allentown without impacting the residential streets. Then this study was took on, 42nd Bridge structural condition was not known to be this dire. So I just want to put that chronologically what happened. So this study was done. In this study in March 2015, where it started, they took an old study and took about 10 alternative routes and condensed and concentrated, boiled it down to 5 alternative routes. Those 5 routes were under the background in the memo on the page. So one of them is Airport Way South, second one is Gateway Drive, third is South 112, and then 48th Avenue, and then the current route, which is to come out of 124th and take the 42nd Bridge. So the fifth one does not include a new bridge. The fifth one just is getting out of the neighborhood using the existing 42nd Bridge. That's what that was. So I just want to make sure that that's how that study was looked at. So when that study was done, the study was never finalized. It was left in a draft format. No location was picked or finalized or blessed by the council. It was never brought back to the council as a final report for one reason or other. And there was a draft report. There were scores that shows some of the options were better than the others. If you just look at the scores and costs, but there was no clear outcome that was recorded in any of the council meetings. So that is a separate project, and the project was put on the back of the list, so to speak, once we know the existing 42nd Bridge, which is a primary route, happens to be in a much dire structural condition than what they originally thought to be. Focus was shifted onto 42nd, and this study was left in its in a draft format. So that's the history, and I'm happy to take questions on that.
Okay, I'll start this time with Councilmember McLeod. Tom?
Thank you, Chair. I remember the study. I remember being down at the community center going through all of the options and the ones that were favored. But some of these, like BNSF, because we took a tour of BNSF, and we sat down with them in their conference room and talked about these sites. And there's clearly some, like 112th and Airport Way, that they say those just really aren't even options. You know, just the cost that they would have to incur to refigure their yard. And there's other obstacles like the rockery on the north end of the lot or the rail yard. They said, so those aren't even options. I mean, there really only was a couple that really were viable. And have you been able to take that study, take the comments, take the conversations in BNSF and see where the recommendation is heading?
Certainly, Councilmember. We did have further conversations with BNSF, and BNSF has a clear idea in their mind. But that option was, it never went through a SEPA process, and it never went through an EIC, environmental impact study. So, those are the next steps to be done to further eliminate the rest of it and finalize that final location.
If City of Tukwila says yes to one of the options and BNSF says no to the option, the project's kind of dead, isn't it? I mean, we really have to have them on board to push one of the options through. Is that correct?
It's a complex question, Councilmember, because what city can say yes or no to is the work in the right-of-way. What BNSF can say yes or no to the work on their private parcel. So, for example, some of the options here, Airport Way, South 112th, and some of the others need BNSF to rearrange the operations on their side and even pour a little bit of asphalt and maybe a little bridge on their site. So they could say no to that, and we could say no to what's in our right of way. But to make a long story short, you are correct. This is a partnership, and the partnership has to be agreed upon by both parties. Otherwise, there will not be a project. So we and BNSF both have to agree to whatever the outcome is on these five options.
Okay, I'll yield back at this point. I may have more.
Thank you, Tom. Councilmember Quinn.
Yeah, I think at this rate, we can go all night here. couple of, just forgive me, targeted concerns, and you called it out as you presented the memo. Number five, just the way it's written, like, we can't even have that on there without the further explanation. I'll just say that on the memo form and process. That ain't going to work. The second thing is, just to be clear around the timeline as well, so, you know, the study outlined the approximate cost, pros and cons to each alternative, and the study remains in draft. And I think Councilmember McLeod kind of talked about what would then go into making it a final draft. And then, to be clear, we were never presented this report because it's in draft form. And so what are the steps to finalizing a draft report? And so I understand, like, the crisis or the more critical shifting of priorities that happens all the time in this work, but what are the steps to get it to a place where it's final? And since then, what is more information that could inform getting it to a place where it's a final draft and presented to the council? And again, I know you inherited, no pressure, Hari, but, you know, this is ramping up and being responsive. And I don't know, you can choose to say, hey, I got this wonderful opportunity to shape the direction and message of where we're going in public works. Or you can say, I got a basket full of challenges that I found under my desk. But I think being able to speak to that and then giving us a sense of what it would take to get it to a final draft, so not only can we see it, but the public can see what we've learned throughout the process.
So I kind of alluded to it in my answer to Councilman McLeod. What it takes is a SEPA and an EIC. So you have to go public, go publish this information, Depending on what public comments come out, we have to prepare answers to that. Once it's all summed up, once we're on a good place of answering all of those, then we can go into finalizing the report.
Okay, and I caught that for sure, but I also think there's probably new information, internal administration conversations about how we'll roll it out and what would happen if, let's just say BNSF just says, you know what, we're not talking to you anymore. How we roll it out. So there's this part around setting expectations as well, which is a conversation. I don't know, Mr. Klein, if you wanted to weigh in on kind of the finalization, the rollout and stuff like that. But it's more than just the SEPA and the other components, although you correctly said that, but there is also a process for expectations, timelines, and the above. So I don't know, Mr. Klein, if you...
Yes, Councilmember Glenn, David Klein, City Administrator. Appreciate all the conversations, healthy conversations from the council tonight. On the BNSF alternative route study, I think if we go back into committees previously, we did outline some different options, which included doing the SEPA, as Mr. Panikenti talked about, also updating cost estimates. That was a big concern, is these last cost estimates were from a 2015 study. We know that things have changed since then, and also environmental issues. So I believe actually that was on one of our work plans, and then I believe it was delayed because of other priorities. But we could bring that back if the council or the committee wanted us to do, is resurrect what were those steps, what would be the additional cost to finalize that outreach, the SEPA analysis, the full analysis. Councilmember McLeod, you're correct about who is paying for what, and also the different types of grant sources that are available for these type of projects, or all types of things that we'd want to bring back to the full council to give us direction on this project.
And I think also where there's a completely new administration, and so maybe they have a different view of impacts of the federal, I forget the term, but preemption. for impacts in neighborhoods, especially kind of, at least for me, hearing Secretary Buttigieg talk about righting the wrongs of historical practices. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would also inform it versus before, mm-hmm. where we kind of ran into some real barriers, and the transportation reauthorization process was also just a barrier. Nothing would move.
You said it very correctly, Councilmember Quinn. The funding options were not that many during the last many years for this type of project. So.
Okay, so I think what I'm hearing between the administration and the other committee members is, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I'm hearing that this is now, this issue of the facility access study has kind of come back up. Mm-hmm. And I think the timing is appropriate for us to maybe look into doing that. Now, you know, I don't know work plans, resources, but like Councilmember Quinn said, we do have a lot more information and we have a lot more perhaps opportunities that we can look into to keep this moving. Because, you know, in my, 16 years here, you know, we get started and then something happens, and then we get started and then something happens. And really, it's a lot of it is out of our control because of what's going on at the federal level. So I think what I'm hearing from my fellow council members is I think it's time to see where we're at, looking at what Councilmember Quinn was just talking about. And maybe report back to the full council at some point later this year when we mm-hmm. can get that information. And, you know, who knows what will also surface from the conversations we're having about the 42nd Avenue Bridge, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they are two separate things, but they kind of somehow merge mm-hmm. in different ways. So, okay. So, Councilmember McLeod or Councilmember Quinn, did you have anything else that you wanted to say on this?
Would there be a kind of a broad timeline that we could look forward to some next steps as opposed to just later in the year?
Mm-hmm. So this is David Klein again, City Administrator. Some ideas. I'll work with Mr. Panicenti and his staff. Our key focus right now is to make sure that we have access to Allentown through replacing the 42nd Bridge. I can't stress that. The council, you have been very clear about making sure we have a safe entry into Allentown, and that is why you really preloaded some of the matching grant costs to get this type, size, and location. And so we'll keep you informed. What I heard very clearly is we'll keep you informed after next week's conversation and our outreach to the community. And I know that Mr. Panicenti and Mr. Cox are, I see many people I know on the phone tonight. So it'll be great to get re-engaged and make sure that we get the right type, size, and location. On the second issue, and I want to be clear on the BNSF, let us come back to you with a timeline, and there will be some probably costs involved in that, and that's in your purview, council, to give us direction on that. But let's make sure we get clear direction from the council about what that might look like and how that fits into your work plan and other priorities you might have.
That's fair. Okay. Okay. Thank you, David. And thank you, council members. Okay, so that then moves us on to the next item on the agenda, which is the 2020 NPDES Annual Report and 2021 Stormwater Management Program. And is this going to be Greg or?
Yes, it will be, if you don't
Great.
Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for the opportunity to present. What you have before you is our traditional. We do this at every year at this time. Is our 2020 National Pollutant Discharge Elimination Annual Report and our 2021 Stormwater Management Program Plan. And that's what's before you now. Our NPDES program requires that the city implement a comprehensive stormwater management plan that complies with the requirements that are outlined in our NPDES Phase 2 permit. And this NPDES Phase 2 permit was just recently issued back in August of 2019, which and it went into effect August 1, and it has a five-year permit term. So I think we've done, this is our third new permit update, if you will. And every permit required, you know, they always throw a little curveball in there and put some, a couple, if not two or three new permit requirements. So with that said, what you have before you is the annual 2020 annual NPDES report. And that specifically talks about what we did in 2020 and what we did to meet the permit requirements. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it or if you have any questions on it. In addition to that, the second one is our 2021 Stormwater Management Program Plan. And that outlines what our direction is in going forward meeting the 2020, this recently new NPDES Phase 2 permit requirements. And what we did, this is a brand new, we restructured that stormwater management program plan before you in 2019. So it aligned with the new NPDES Phase 2 permit. And so it's relatively new, so there wasn't too many changes in it. And what we did was we highlighted in blue the nominal changes that we did do. Some of them were saying begin, and then we highlighted and changed it to mention continue with, because we already began it in 2019. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at it or if you have any questions regarding these.
Thank you. Councilmember Quinn.
So I do have some questions, but I was hoping maybe we can preserve the little time that we have, you know, for if anyone wants to kind of speak. So I think answering them via email would be great. So okay. I'd be interested in what you weren't able to accomplish in 2021 just because of the pandemic. Obviously, I have a real passion for this, and having kind of worked in it and knowing, you know, cleaning legacy loads and the process associated, the street sweeping, all contributes to how well we help protect our water quality in the region. So I would just be interested in what weren't you able to accomplish in 2020, and how are you planning to kind of expedite it in 2021 and draw our attention to maybe those things? And with that, I will yield back and leave space.
Thank you. Council Member McLeod.
I don't have any questions to ask at this point here. Some of this I'm still reading through and trying to understand pieces of it. I'll be honest, as an accountant, I don't come across this type of stuff that often. but I'll email you my questions if I have them in addition, because this was just for information on tonight's committee report. So I'll yield back.
Thank you, Tom. I remember when this first came to the city, the MPDES, and how were we going to handle it, and how were we going to fund it, and it was quite an undertaking back then. I don't have any specific questions that I can't email you, so let's do that. And then I do know we have one miscellaneous that our public works director needed to bring up, and then we can move to opening things up for comment. Ari?
I think Councilmember Deshaun wants to say something.
Oh, Deshaun. Sorry.
I promise I'll be really fast, and I wasn't there in time to say, hey, I have a miscellaneous, but a resident sent me a message and said that they've in the Duwamish area, they've had an issue with semi trucks in the neighborhood. There's been at least 5 semi trucks, and unfortunately, they've knocked down mailboxes, broke some sidewalks, mm-hmm. portions of sidewalks, and left tractor trailer tracks in someone's yard, and unfortunately where they had plants, and they've knocked over branches on one of the really beautiful plants over there right on the corner. And so I just, this is a problem, not to mention the jackknife one that was on 42nd, and then seeing also tractor trailer trucks coming down off of Skyway. I'm behind them in my car. I see the tractor trailer coming down, crossing the I-5 bridge as I look over and look at the weight limit, and I stop. So I just wanted to share that, and that's it. So I would love for us to really address this. I have some pictures that I will share for follow-up.
Thank you. thank you, Council Member. I have that same concern. I mean, I've seen it too, where I won't go over the bridge. I just will stop my car. I won't. And so we do need to figure out how to address that. You know, and the multiple trucks that pile up on the 42nd Avenue Bridge. And if you happen to be in a tiny little car like me and then in the middle of them, you just sit there and you feel that bridge bounce, it's not a really good feeling. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. So, Hari, go ahead with your miscellaneous, and then we'll get hopefully.
Yes. Thank you, Committee Chair. I just want to quickly bring to this committee's attention that there are discussions regarding budget and our budget. Our finance director is having a discussion in her finance committee today, and questions being if there was additional funding, what are the priorities that council has and how to redirect that? I just want to quickly bring an update to your guys' attention. If the attention focuses and if the council has the desire to direct some of that money for graffiti cleaning, bus stop cleaning, large trash pickup, I just want to remind you that we have currently two frozen positions in the street. So if those two positions were to be unfrozen, with a head nod and an understanding that we could do the budget amendment later on, that will make way for us to quickly go and hire seasonals. Seasonal hire usually happens between April and May, and they make a tremendous impact on how clean the city can be between May and September. So more details will come your way from our finance director and the administrator, and larger discussions will happen. But since you, three of you, are part of the Transportation Services Committee, I want to bring it to your attention that we cannot hire seasonals until the two frozen positions are unfrozen.
Okay. Council members, did you want to comment on that at all?
Just quickly. I mean, understood. And having been on the budget committee, I want to know that we are working collaboratively with them before we even take the next step. So we are aware, and maybe the transportation chair can mention it tonight.
Yep, I can do that. Okay. So with that said, now I'm not quite sure how we're going to do this because we're virtual and I've never had to do this before. So it's my understanding that if you hit *6, that will unmute you. I have no way to say you go because I can't see anybody. That's one of the unfortunate things about being virtual like this. But I think well, let's just do this. So first of all, it's 6:32, so we have about 15 minutes. So if somebody wants to unmute themselves, please identify yourself with your name, your first and your last name, so we can make sure that we get it into the record. And I would say, you know, let's limit people to about, 3 minutes, and we'll see what we can get through. How about that? Okay. So who's first?
This is Sean Albert. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Sean Albert, 4023 South 114th Street in Allentown. And I have been graciously voluntold by my fellow residents that I will represent them tonight at this meeting. A lot of questions that we had. First off, I've actually been in communication with Hari, so there's many of us on the call tonight that will take part in that meeting on the 30th to strategize and plan for the larger community meeting. I've also I'm in the process of reaching out to Puget Sound Clean Air Agency to try to see if I can get someone from that organization to join as well. It's great that both of these issues were on the agenda for tonight because, like I heard from some of the council members, they're pretty much the same issue to us as residents. They're not really two separate issues. I think it's safe to say that all the residents would agree that the 42nd Avenue Bridge is very important to the neighborhood and no one wants to see that go away. With that said, I've also heard tonight, and I also agree that if it is replaced, the conversation about an alternative method for the train yard for the intermodal access to BNSF, will that even be a conversation anymore? It seems like once that 42nd Avenue Bridge is replaced, why would we need to build another alternative entrance, because we have a brand new bridge ready to go. One thing I did write down in my notes here, I haven't heard anyone this evening mention the possibility of the 48th Avenue Bridge being the detour for while the 42nd Bridge is not accessible for being rebuilt. Why can't 48th Street Bridge be built first? That could be the detour while 42nd is being rebuilt. I'm just brainstorming here. No one mentioned that, but is it a possibility? A few other things, and I'll try to wrap it up here. Where would traffic go if the 42nd Avenue Bridge couldn't keep being used while a new one is being built? Would all those trucks then head north on to 115th and basically drive completely through the neighborhood from one end to the other? So that's an interesting question that I think needs to be thought about as well. I know there's, you know, anybody that's gone across that bridge has noticed that it has a reduced speed and weight limit because it's failing. How is that being enforced? And then one last thing, I think Deshaun's question about the chronological order about how all the, you know, the consultants were brought in and stakeholders were contacted. I was wondering if there's any conflict of interest with the same company performing the structural assessment as designing the 30%. Is that normal? I don't know. I don't work in a public works sort of realm, so maybe that's common, but it just seems interesting that the company that said it needs to be replaced immediately would be designing it. And there'll be a lot more from us, but that's all we have for now. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to join the meeting and speak tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. These are a lot of questions, and I'm hoping that some of them, I know that they're going to be addressed as the meetings are put together and as you are formulating the questions for the larger meeting. But Hari, one question in particular interest to me was the last question, and I don't know that because I'm not an engineer. Can you address that, the potential conflict of interest? Because, you know, the bridge inspection people,
Yeah. So I can actually answer. I can take a stab at a lot of these questions, but I go with the last one first. So it's not uncommon in the field of engineering, especially if somebody is doing a structural assessment and helps you in putting together an application for a grant, to work on the 30% design. They have the inside knowledge. The actual inspection is conducted by King County. Mm-hmm. So that's a third party inspector. And the actual structural inspection is conducted by a different subcontractor. So that in itself, he's not Pantech, so there is not that direct conflict. And we do go through a very thorough process because whenever we hire a consultant company, we always keep in mind we follow the federal LAG manual, local agency manual. So every interview is done by 3 to 5 panel members. The scores are kept separately, and then the scores are tallied separately, and then there'll be a second interview. So in that aspect, it's just simply sometimes they have the inside knowledge because they have worked on the project, so therefore they can readily bid on or provide. This is not based on the consultant selection is not based on cost. So the way the consultant selection happens is their knowledge and similar experience is the criteria. In engineering, cost is, it's not a low bid selection of the consultant. The cost comes later on. So all of these are very clear indication that there's no conflict of interest. With that being said, the first question you have was why don't we do 48th Street Bridge first as a replacement while 42nd is going under construction? Right now at 48th, there's no bridge. So putting a bridge there would require a SEPA and make sure that all of the properties and property owners in the neighborhood has a chance to comment. And it's a 10-month to 16-month process. So it's just simply time-wise, it doesn't pan out with the urgency of replacing a bridge that's falling apart. So if we were to do a detour of 42nd right next to it, we can use army military kind of bridges that are, they could just fabricate in less than a few days and put it there as temporary detour right next to it. So this is done all the time. It's expensive. It's done, but if that's the way to get in and out of the neighborhood while the bridge construction is going on, and if we have a grant fund and the grant pays for that, we will consider that detour option with a bridge, temporary bridge built right next to it. More details on the detour will come out as the project progresses, but we will make sure there is a good viable option for the residents to get out and in. The reduced speed and weight limits are imposed by the Public Works. Adam Cox is a city engineer that observes that, and he puts those signs after reading the structural inspection. And our police department is given those speeds and weight limits, and we let them know that they need to come and take a look at it and make sure that there's no speeding. But we don't manage our police department's resources. But let's say I'm on the bridge and I see somebody speeding, I usually call our police chief and say, hey, I observed it myself, so make sure that one of the officers stays out there. And if there is loose sand, anything that we see that can add to the slipperiness and other accidents, we and Public Works staff communicate with our police department, but the enforcement comes from our police department. So you have a chronology, how these things will work. And as the project progresses, we will develop a schedule and we'll put the chronology of what happened to when the study was done, when the BNSF alternative, and for that, I have to defer the answer to that we will have to do some more research, and we'll put that out there. Thank you, Sean.
Great. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? If nobody else has any questions, I kind of do. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Not you. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. We can also hear some feedback. Okay,
I know that we made Sean be our person, but
can you just say your name for the record, please? I'm sorry.
My name is Kelly Simmons, and I live at 12250 42nd Avenue South, which is one door down from the little blinky light at the little store. So we were kind of the ones that saw the guy out there surveying one day, and that's how this all came about. My question would be that it appears that it was 6 years ago that they had, and I remember I went to it at the Tuckalo Community Center when we had all these other alternate routes, and had we moved forward at that point, I know he says it takes 16 to 18 months or whatever, but that was 6 years ago, and it sounds like they just dropped that right out the back door as soon as they did that, all that. So that could have all been, we could have had a new 48th Avenue bridge, which would have took the pressure off of this 42nd Avenue bridge. Perhaps if you did not have any truck traffic on it, you wouldn't need to rebuild the whole thing. You could just you could just retrofit it, because it's the truck traffic that's ruining it. It isn't the cars. So if you removed all of the trucks, I don't know if you'd have to replace it. Maybe it could just be repaired. But now it takes so long now to build another bridge. But like I said, I've lived here 30 years. We've been having this conversation for 30 years. And we have had multiple studies and multiple things and multiple this and that. And then all of a sudden here comes somebody saying, we're going to build an off ramp off of 599 and bring it right here to this stoplight. We're like, what? So anyway, we'll see you on Monday, on Tuesday, I guess it is. But those are my thoughts is, you know, if we remove the truck traffic altogether, I don't know if we have to replace the 42nd Avenue Bridge. Perhaps it could just be repaired.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, I think we have time for just one more, if there's one more. Okay. All right. So I'm not hearing anybody. I really, really appreciate everybody that's on the call tonight. And Sean, thank you for stepping up and representing the community. And these were really good questions. It was a really good discussion. And you guys can come back to our committee meeting anytime you want. And I'm sure that there's a lot of us will see you on next Tuesday. So with that, I think unless there's anything else, Hari or the other council members that we need to talk about tonight, I don't think so. So I think that means we have a few minutes to get ready for our next meeting.
Yeah. My thanks to Sean and all the residents and the feedback. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.